The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
It's always great to hear men sing, and I appreciate that so much. Appreciate the men in the men's choir tonight. That was great. You guys did great, and thank you so much for that. What a wonderful day it certainly has been. Take your Bible, please, and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. As we read just a moment ago, we'll reread this for emphasis' sake, where the Bible says, "And be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" I want to speak tonight on staying separate in a connected world, staying separate in a connected world. We had the married couples cruise, and we got on a cruise ship, and we sailed. Most of the people that was on the cruise ship had not yet received Christ as Savior. You saw different people doing different things, as you would see down at the state fair or whatever. And, you know, you get Bible tracts out, you witness to people. I think that a total, in talking to the different ones that went, I think there were 17 people that received Christ as Savior. Now, I think that's neat. I think that's neat to be able to go on a cruise liner and different ones telling me, hey, I led two people to Christ this week, or I led one person to Christ this week or whatever. And different ones just giving me different numbers, you know, and kind of adding it up roughly. And there might have been some that hadn't told me yet, and maybe they led 45 or 50. I'm not sure. But just out of the ones that came up to me voluntarily and said, hey, preacher, I led four people to Christ or five or whatever the case may be. And I think that's neat. I just think that that is a wonderful testimony. I saw tracks when I went into the restrooms, and somebody would beat me to it, and they put a track in the bathroom. So we covered the ship with different tracks. That way, if the ship sunk, we'd have something to hold on to as we're going down into the deep. But I thought that was neat. You know, you can be in the world, stay with me, but not of the world. You know, we fellowshiped on that cruise. We ate together, many of us. We fellowshiped together. We had a great time going over to Cozumel. I think that's how you say it. Mexico, and just had a great time walking around, stuff like that. Then Dr. and Mrs. Ray, excellent, excellent, excellent job. Of course, you would expect no less, and giving us challenges and teaching us how to have greater and better marriages. And it was a wonderful time. But yet this verse kind of stuck out to me as I was studying there on the cruise and as I was heading home. And by the way, I was so proud of our people, the way that they were a shining testimony in front of a lost and dying world. So very proud of you. But here we see that there is a church. This is not a godly church. This is an ungodly church at this time, very sensual church. And this church is being instructed and several times rebuked by the Apostle Paul. In our country, yea, I believe, in the world, there is a connectability that people are searching for. It's almost like the rule of the day, you know, through the cell phones, through the different pager systems, through the internet, through the World Wide Web, through different types of Facebooks and stuff like that that's out there. There's a connectability. Now, by the way, some of that is very good. Some of that can be very harmful. If you don't use it the right way, you can get yourself into deep waters. There are certain buzzwords that I hear that's shared throughout the community and throughout places where I speak and of course, in our general area here. Buzzwords like tolerance, I hear that a lot. Acceptance, I hear that a lot. Openness, I hear that a lot. Seeker-friendly, I hear that a lot. Inclusive, I hear that a lot. It gives the idea, if you would please, that everybody needs to come together and drop anything that might divide and us all be happy together. It gives the idea that maybe there needs to be just one gigantic umbrella and everybody stand underneath the gigantic umbrella. Let us all be one world, one society, yea, even one church. It's the heartbeat of the world that you become like the world. Get what I just said? It's the heartbeat of the world that you become like the world. That's the heartbeat of the world. They don't want you to be different, and they don't want you to be a little bit odd. They want you to be just like they are. And if you're not just like they are, then they themselves will say unacceptable. But there's a world out there that's carousing around. There's a world out there that's involved in liquor. There's a world out there that's involved in drugs. There's a world out there that's involved in all sorts of things that they ought not yet even to be named among those that are believers in Christ. And yet you see it. You see different churches here. You'll see the Church of Philippi was known as a compassionate church. Why? Because that's who they were. Somebody told me the other day, "Preacher, do you think it's right that somebody passes a judgment on somebody else?" Well, if you live where somebody passes a judgment on you and it's beneficial and they're patting you on the back, that doesn't bother you. By the way, everybody judges. So when a person judges you because you're not doing right, that's when it really bothers you. So if you live a life where you can pass judgments, you'll not be bothered at all. There's a church at Philippi. They were judged and they were found to be a compassionate church. There's a church at Ephesus. They were judged. They were found to be a committed church. There's the church, if you would please, at Corinth. They were judged and they were found to be a church of carnality. The church at Corinth is probably the most worldly church that you'll find in your Bible. It's a worldly church. It's dwelling in a very wicked city, and they allowed the wicked city to influence them so that they became vile, so that their moral standards became very low. It's a church, if you will, that wanted, it almost seems like, to be accepted by the society that was around them. Now, can I tell you, that is not God's will. God's will is that God's people remain different than that which is in the world. You can be in the world, but not of the world. You have to live here. You have to breathe here. You have to eat here. But you don't have to go out and get drunk here. You don't have to do drugs here. Can I tell you, with God, all things are possible. Yes, you can live for God. Yes, you can stand up for Jesus Christ. Yes, you can hold a Bible and be proud of it. Yes, you can live a separated life. Somebody says, "Well, I wish our church was more modern." No, I thank God for Parkside Baptist Church. I thank God that we teach our young people what is right and what is wrong. I thank God that we teach our young married couples what is right and what is wrong. I thank God we teach our old married couples what is right and what is wrong. A young couple sat down beside us a little bit on the ship and said, "Yeah, I'm looking forward to sitting here with the old people." The old people. I said this morning, I said, "Jump off the ship, leave the ship." You know, but can I tell you? Listen, it's important. Now, let me give you a couple of things tonight that can help you to understand how you and I are supposed to be separate in a connected world. Now, I don't mean isolation. I'm going to talk about insulation tonight. Okay, but how is it that you can be separate? What is it that you can do to have the power of God upon you? What is it that you can do to be able to live for Jesus Christ, listen to me now, and go to bed without being convicted because of your dirty living? What is it that you can do tonight to be able to love God, step out, do what is right, and have God's richest blessing upon your life because you did what was right and not live under judgment? What is it you can do? Statement number one, we are marked by several contrasts. There's several contrasts that will mark us. Notice in your Bible here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." This was their text verse. The Bible says, "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness?" And so there's a contrast in our walk. Where the Bible talks here, and it talks about that we're marked by different contrasts. You know, here you'll see that Paul is using words like this in these verses. He uses the word fellowship, uses the word communion, uses the word concord, uses the word part, uses the word agreement. But when he's doing this, he's doing that with Christians. He's saying this is the way you're supposed to be among each other. He's not saying be that way with those that do not identify themselves with Christ. He's not saying saying go out there and you have in common with people that are in the bars. You go out there and you be in common with people that smoke in the weed. He's not saying that at all. He's saying to a local church, he says, this is the way it ought to be. Inside of a local church, you ought to have some things that are common. And then he tells what those things ought to be. He contrasts that which is righteousness with unrighteousness. The word righteousness here simply means a purity of life. So he's saying this. He's saying that your walk ought to show to others that there is a purity of life. In other words, you don't have to go out and get on drugs in order to be high. Hey, by the way, how about letting the Holy Spirit use you? How about letting God use you? How about passing out some gospel tracts? How about living a life that somebody says, by looking at you, God made the difference in your life, and I want God to make the difference in my life, just like he made the difference in your life. Hey, how about walking around carrying a Bible? How about putting a smile on your face? How about when you go into a place, a public, use words? Words like thank God. Use words like praise God. Use words like I'm so thankful for what Jesus did. How about bringing God in instead of pushing God out? I'm saying this tonight. There needs to be a contrast in our walk. There needs to be a contrast in our wisdom. Look at verse 15, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 15. The Bible says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? The Bible says, and what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now, he's talking here about that word, if you would please, as we'll draw attention to it, what concord. When he's talking about what concord, he's simply talking about this, what harmony. The word concord simply means harmony. He says, so what harmony do you have with these that are walking that direction? What harmony do you have with a person that doesn't even believe in God? Then he says, in contrast, he says this. He says, light with darkness. There's no fellowship there. There's division there. There's division there. See, the world wants to govern you, but God says, I want to govern you. See, why don't we, okay, here's what you did. You voted, right? Did you vote? You voted. I want that person to be my president. You voted, right? That's what you did. How about voting for Jesus Christ? Amen. How about every day of your life getting up and saying, I want you, Jesus, Amen. To guide me. Jesus, today you got my vote. Today I'm going to show you how much I love you. Today I'm going to let the world see how much I love. Today I'm going to ask you for your wisdom. I want you to guide me. You tell me not to do that, not going to do it. You tell me to do that, I'm going to do it. Hey, listen, simply because I want harmony with you. Listen to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, in what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And it says, and ye are the temple of the living God. Hath God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now that's talking about your personal worship with God. That's talking about getting up and reading your Bible and letting God read you. That's talking about your prayer life. That's talking about there needs to be a contrast with who you walk with. By the way, I'm saying this, you will not get offended by Bible preaching if you are truly walking with God. I can't offend you. Man, I'm going to come step all over you. I'm going to spit in your face. I'm going to sit in your lap. Whoa. But do you know, if you're walking with God, can I tell you, dear beloved friend, you're not going to get offended by that. Because you have a Holy Ghost inside of you that says, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right. That's right. That's right. Hey, listen, can I tell you, the happiest person in all the world is that person that surrenders their life to Jesus Christ. I've never seen a person that was full of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about Holy Spirit filled. I've never seen a person that is Holy Spirit filled wanting to commit suicide. I've never seen a person that was Holy Spirit filled that got mad at somebody and wouldn't forgive them. I've never seen a person that was Holy Ghost filled that decided I'm going to get even. Yes, vengeance is mine, saith me, that's my name. I've never seen a person. You know, the people that walk with God and have a root, a depth with God, you can't offend them. Great peace had they that love thy law and nothing shall offend them. You know, you can't offend them. You can slap them. They'll just stand there and smile at you. Hello. Hello. Had a preacher friend one time, and somebody did come up. They slapped him. And then they slapped him again. And he said, I must apologize. And then he decked the guy. And he said, okay, now I'll get right with God. But, you know, I'm saying this. I'm saying that if you let God control you, you'll have less friction in the home. You'll have less friction in the marriage. You'll have less friction in the hallways of the church. If you let God control you, you won't have those sensual thoughts. You let God control you. You won't have, if you would please, a desire to do that which is wrong more than a desire to do that is right. Let God control you. You let God control you. You're not going to wear garments that's going to draw the eyes of a guy so much that he begins to think the wrong things. You let God control you. I'm saying tonight that we are marked by several contrasts. Statement number two, we are managed by significant commands. God has given us significant commands. Look at this. We're commanded, if you would please. Now, stay with me if you will. We are commanded to separate ourselves. Now, that's not saying be unkind. That's not saying be unkind. You're going to house soul winning, and all of a sudden, somebody trying to be neighborly, and this is the only way they know to do it simply because they're lost. They don't know. They've never been trained. They've never been to a Bible preaching church. They've never even heard the name of Christ. And they say this. They say, now look, I know it's hot out there. Come on in, friend. And so you and your partner, you go in. Have a seat. I got air conditioned. And so you sit down. You have a seat because they've got air conditioned. Let me get you something to drink. And they go in. They get a beer out. And they bring it over. Say, I'd like to give this to you to cool you down. Well, you don't have to say, ah, you wicked individual, you. Let me tell you something. You stand on the top of their coffee table and you preach to them for 2 hours. You could say this, no, thank you. Let me just show you some things that God wants us both to know. Come on. I remember my daddy smoked and I started going to the White House to get cigarettes. You didn't know the White House sold cigarettes, did you? We had a bar that was on Maple Grove Road, and it was about 2 miles down the road. And my daddy, at the age of 6, he would send me down to the bar. He'd call down there. The guy's name, I think, was Eddie. And he'd call down there and tell Eddie, I'm sending my boy down to get my smokes. So I'd get on my little bike, and I'd pedal down there 2 miles, and I'd pick up my daddy's smokes. I remember this. It's in a bar. It's called the White House. All right? And so I go down and get my daddy's smokes. And long about 18 years of age, I got saved. Now, by the way, I knew Eddie pretty good. I knew the fabric of that bar pretty good. Stay with me now. Now, I never got down there and drank. I never did any of that stuff. I had different goals in life, and I saw what drinking did to my daddy. And so I never got into drinking. But I go down there, and I pick my daddy's stuff up, and I'd bring it back. Long about 18 years of age, got saved. And I looked at my daddy, and I said, now, Daddy, I don't know if I ought to go back down to that bar. And he said, well, why? I said, well, be honest with you, I don't think it looks too good, but more than that, I don't want to help you to commit slow suicide. That's all I heard. He said, you mean you love me that much? I said, I love you so much. He said, you mean to tell me that you don't want to get down there and pick those smokes up because you don't want me to die a slow suicide? I said, I don't want you to die a slow suicide. And he said, okay, you don't have to go anymore. Then he looked at one of my other brothers. He said, you go. But you know, that protected my testimony after I got saved. See, I'm saying this. I'm saying that we are supposed to manage some specific commands that God gives us. You're supposed to be the one, if you would please, that when he commands you to be separated, then you decide that you're going to do that. But never do you see that Christ was one that did not use wisdom. Amen. Show me one place in the Bible where Christ did not use wisdom. Amen. All throughout the Bible, God showed through his son that he was full. His stature was full of wisdom. Yes. Now, can I tell you, use some wisdom as to how to deal with people. Use some wisdom as to how to help people. Use some wisdom as to how to train some people. use some wisdom as to how to guide some people along the way. Now, I'm all for red hot preaching. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm all for red hot preaching. I think the preacher ought to get up from time to time, let her rip, and spit all over everybody so you leave here knowing that you were preached to. But I also believe that sometimes, if you're not careful, you're going to pick up just that only, and you're going to go out and you're going to get an attitude because you hung around somebody, had an attitude. And you're going to get out there and you're going to cause somebody to die and go to hell because you didn't have the tact of a gnat. You didn't have the wisdom of being able to take what God gave you. Listen, go help somebody. Go love somebody. Go encourage somebody. Stand up, if you will. And so we had a steward, I guess. So what you call him, honey, a steward. The guy that waited on us, yeah. And so all week long, boy, he'd come by every so often, and I'd grab his arm, and I'd say, "You're doing a good job. Thank you so much. You are doing such a good job." All right? And no, he wasn't like you. And I said, "You're doing such a good job." All right? Now wait a minute. And so did you know I built a friendship there? I built a friendship there. And now, can I tell you, I didn't have to go drinking with him, and I didn't have to go smoking with him, and I didn't have to go doping with him. And he realized that there was a friend there. He cleaned our rooms. He saw our Bibles. He saw our gospel tracts. And by the way, just that alone is a witness. Just that alone. When we went to the time of training, had Bibles. And when we went to the time of training and we got there, we opened the Bibles and people going by those glass rooms were looking in. Amen. All those people got Bibles open. What in the world is that? Now, I'm saying this. Thank you. Be seated. I'm saying that we need to manage those specific commands that God gives us. When God says, "Hey, look, you be separated. You come out from among them." And I'm going to show you how God means this. But you come out from among them. What he's saying is refuse to walk like the world. Refuse to be like the world. Refuse, if you would please, to bow down to the way that the world bows down. He has called us out. You're supposed to be separate. You're supposed to be different. Yes, you're supposed to walk different. All of a sudden, you hit the wrong nail when you're driving the nail. The last thing ought to come out of your mouth, yea, never come out of your mouth, is a vile curse word. Right. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. You hit that nail, you can hold it up and say, oh, that hurt. But you don't have to say a bad word. Oh, come on. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, I'm saying tonight that we are to mark, if you would please, several contrasts. We're marked by that. We're supposed to be managing some of these commands that God gives us. We're supposed to be, and stay with this, we're supposed to be moved as that which is having satisfying consolations. You know, living for God has some very satisfying consolations. There's a peace that passeth all understanding. You sleep better at night. You sleep better at night. You snore louder. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Now watch what he says, "And I will receive you." Who's he going to receive? He's going to receive those. The word "receive" here simply means that he's going to treat them with favor. And so he's going to treat that person with favor that comes out from among them. Okay, wait a minute. Stay with me. I've got to get it across somehow. You're not supposed to be stuck up. Don't become so highfalutin spiritual that you think you're somebody and you look down your nose on everybody else. You know, we have people that come to our church that just got saved. We have people that come to our church that's looking for somebody to love them, somebody to help them, somebody to be close to them, somebody. And by the way, don't be so stuck on yourself that you don't have time for anybody else. Come on. I mean, you go up to people and be friendly. You go up to people and help them. You go up to people and encourage them. You say, well, if somebody comes to our church and they have a real worldly hairdo, I just don't feel right in shaking their hand. Look, neighbor, get over it. Go up and shake their hand. Make yourself, force yourself, kick yourself. But go up and shake their hand. You so now, by the way, listen to me. I have little patience for somebody that knows the truth and chooses not to do it. I have a great amount of patience for people that do not know the truth, but yet they're wanting to do right. They just don't know what right is. For those you've been saved a long time, man, I expect you to set up and pay attention more so than somebody that's not been saved a long time. For those of you who have been saved a long time, hey, I expect you to have your act right, dress right, talk right, walk right. I expect you to have your attitude right. You know better. You've heard enough preaching that you could probably write some verses out from memory. You know them so well. But can I tell you what's killing you is you're looking at it wrong. You're looking at church sometimes as well. You know, they got that rule or they got that rule. No, no, no. It's all about relationship. But the deeper the root, the more the fruit. The healthier the root, the more the fruit. Come on. Any tree that has a healthy root, you take an apple tree, if it's got a healthy root, it's going to have more fruit. What my job is, and different leaders that are spiritual leaders in the church, is we're supposed to help you get a healthy root. Come on. I'm supposed to come to you and say, hey, man, what'd you get out of your Bible this morning? Without you getting mad. Hey, let me ask you this. What spiritual books are you reading that's really helped you? Without somebody getting upset. Come on. How many Bible tracts did you pass out? How many people have you led to Christ? Who'd you talk to? Share your testimony this week. Sing any scriptural songs this week. Hey, you know, I ought to be able to come up to anybody that's in this building tonight and say, listen, as you were reading your Bible today, what'd you get out of it? And you ought to be able to say, well, I tell you what, let me show you what God gave me. Oh, it is so good. Amen. You say, preacher, if you ever did that, let me tell you what, I'd be leaving here real quick. Well, that shows your lack of spirituality. Man, you ought to be happy that somebody would love you enough to be able to come up and say, man, I love you. Let me try and help you. Let me try and encourage you. You know, you're not in it for you. You're not in it for me. You're in it for him. You got a bad marriage and things are not happening the way they should be. God can help you. You've got children that's going haywire. God can help you. You've got problems in your life that's unmanageable. I'm telling you tonight, you got a God, and that God can help you. I'm saying tonight that we're supposed to be moved by that which is the satisfying consolation, what God can do. You ever sit in a church service, and all of a sudden God convicted you? You know, you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to come forward and say, God, help me with that. Or you're going to walk out and be unresolved. Amen. And things don't get better unresolved. Amen. Come on. Amen. The way to take care of a problem is tackle it head on. Amen. My brother told me something one day, and I followed his advice, and I thought it was true until my daddy wised up to it. He said, Mike, he said, when daddy tells you, go down to the holler and get the switch. He said, don't get a little one, because then he'll go pick the big one. He said, but I've gotten away with something for years. He said, daddy hadn't caught on. He said, you know, daddy always says, now bend over. And of course, he'd bring you close to him. He said, get as far up the leg as you can. That way he has less hitting power. And I thought, that's great. Man, I climbed up his leg. He pushed me down. He said, you're too close, son. Pushed me way out there. All right, now, can I tell you, that didn't work for me. But if you have somebody that's bothering you, let me give you something you can do. Man's gift maketh room for him. Love them to death. love them to death. Well, you know, they really bother me. Go buy them a gift. That doesn't work, buy them a bigger one. That doesn't work, buy them a car. Then a house. Then their favorite vacation. Then just pay for them the rest of you. No, I'm kidding. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible says, and listen to what it says, and he will be a father unto you. Now, but that doesn't say to be holy even as I am holy. Use your mind here for a minute. Doesn't it say that sin, corruption, evilness, if you will, cannot dwell in the very presence of God? Doesn't it talk about that in the Bible? So what makes you think that you can live in sin and get prayers answered? What makes you think that you can live in sin and everything be hunky-dory with you and God? Doesn't work that way. All right, now wait a minute. He said this. He said, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So here, let me tell you a wonderful consolation. We have his favor. He said, I'll receive you. Not only that, we have a close fatherhood there. There's a close fatherhood. All of our children, all of our daughter-in-laws. You know, they can come into our house. By the way, all of our kids have a key to our house. Have a key to the house. All they got to do is call us up, say, hey, listen, need to stop by for a little while. Is that okay? Great. Hey, come. Come. They walk in. They don't have to say, hey, can I get this out of the refrigerator and eat it? No, they just go over, open the refrigerator. 10 minutes later, there's nothing left. But there's that freedom there. You know why? They got a dad, they got a mom. They got a dad and a mom. So they can come anytime they want to. They got keys. They got keys. So they can come over. You know, they don't have to have an invitation. Just show up. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Isn't that like fatherhood? No. Sure it is. I go to my heavenly father and say, dear God, please help me with this. Give me wisdom for this. Guide me. Please show me what you want me to do here. Father, show me, if you will, this direction. God, I need wisdom for this. I need help for this. God, I'm praying for so-and-so today. Would you help him with this? All right. Now, I'm saying you can go. He's your father. There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Lastly, this, we're motivated to be steadfast with our convictions. We're motivated to be steadfast with our convictions. I remember one time, I just a young believer, that's all I was, didn't know much. But I remember coming to the youth department. When I came into the youth department, the kids were saying in this particular youth department, hey, come over to our house. We're having a party. I thought, man, that's great. Christian party. And this is going to be good. Christian party. And so I went over and I thought, hey, man, this is good. Some of these kids went to the public school with me. I never knew they were believers before, but I saw them in church. Hey, come on over. I went over. They had beer. They had all sorts of stuff. These were kids, believe it or not, that was in the youth department. Now, I stood up on, I remember, I stood up, there was a table. I said, hey, listen up. Look up here. I said, I got saved. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. But I said, when I got saved, my friends were doing what you were doing. You say you're Christians. I don't know about you, but I think I'd be ashamed. It was very quiet. I stepped down. Nobody shook my hand. Nobody opened the door for me. Nobody said, we're going to miss you. Please don't leave. No. Went to Sunday school the next Sunday, walked in. Nobody would sit beside me. David Lee only was there all the time. Now, wait a minute. What am I saying? I'm saying that there was young people back then that was doing things they should not be doing. They were involved in things they should not be involved in. Come on. Look, I love your young people. I really do. But if you walk into a room and all of a sudden that laptop lid goes shut, if I was a parent, I'd wonder, what are they hiding? As a parent, hey, I love you. But as a parent, you ought to be able to go up to a teenager. You got your cell phone? You ought to be able to go up to a teenager at any time and say, let me see it right now. Let's see who you've been texting. See what games you've been playing. See some of the pictures you've been looking at. Come on. You say, oh, man, they ought not to be able to do that. Oh, yes, they should. And if they love you, I think you ought to let them. Oh, but don't give them any warning. All right, 5 o'clock tonight, cell phone chat. That kid's going to go in the room and say, okay, that's got to be gone. 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 That's got to be. You would not believe how this is ruining a lot of kids. It's ruining them. Blows my mind. Come on, I'm just being honest with you. We didn't have this when I was coming up. But now, kids, you watch them. After church even, here's what happens. As soon as church is over, cell phones come out. No communication. Hey, here's a neat thing. You want to do it? Want to do it? Here's a neat thing. Why don't you say, hey, look, on Thanksgiving Day, no cell phones. Say, preacher, don't do that to me. I'm going to have a heart attack, and I'm 16. Just say, look, no cell phone. This is family time. We're going to put these things up. They're not coming out until it's over. Come on. I put the games. Bring back the family for one day. Just one day. Sit around, eat, and eat. Pretend you're on your own cruise. Mike Ray texts me, said, I got in at 12:30 this morning from flying down to California. He said, I woke up, I went to church. He said, man, I sure didn't miss that room service. Here it is, I'm done. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. The Bible says, having therefore, it says, these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. Says protecting holiness in the fear of God. So we're motivated to be steadfast in our convictions. Be motivated. You know, man, I'm so glad that I made some decisions early on in life about living right. Says perfecting holiness. What's that talking about? That's talking about completing, or if you would please, getting the whole mind of Christ deep down in that soul. You know, that's talking about making sure that it is right. Why? Because there is a setting that you ought to have in your life. It's called the fear of God. Fear of God. Somebody says, preacher, I'm doing it. Nobody will see it. What about God? What about God? You know, one thing I notice, many times missionaries raise kids that are more godly. Say, why is that true, preacher? Why is that true? I'm going to tell you why it's true. Because you see, mom and daddy have their eyes on them all the time. As they travel, as they wake, as they walk, as they talk, as they sleep. And mom and daddy's right there. You can't take the Christian school teacher home with you. But mom and daddy's right there. Hello. But I've seen some missionaries that raise some outright rebels.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you why. Because they have a mom and dad that speak it, but don't live it. And the mom and dad become the greatest stumbling blocks that kid ever knew. Say, what's the answer, preacher? Only one answer.
Amen.
Right here.
Amen.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?
Right.
You know, I've seen this. I saw it in my daddy's life. My daddy got saved. My daddy was an alcoholic. He would come home drunk on Fridays. Whenever he came home, he was a great dad. He's a great dad, except for Fridays. There's certain types of alcohol he would drink. When he did, he got mean. Now, there's certain other type of alcohol he drank, I guess, and it didn't cause that. But there's certain type, he got mean. He got mean. I'm talking about bear mean. Now, wait a minute. I watched that. I watched him come home. There's 26 steps that leads from the primary floor down to the basement. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because I counted them each time I got pushed down. I remember those days. I used to play guitar, believe it or not. Not as good as you, but I'd strum it a little bit. Till the day Daddy took the guitar, chased my older brother around the backyard, beat him up with it over the top of his head. Now, wait a minute. He was a good man except for when he was drinking. But that liquor changed him. The liquor controlled him. Now, wait a minute. What took place? Let me tell you what took place. All of a sudden, Daddy got saved. Daddy looked at Mama, looked at the boys, and said, no more. Took the liquor, poured it down. He said, that's it. I'm done. I'm tired of hurting you. I'm tired of destroying the home. It's over. Poured it down, never picked it up again. We had to change Daddy because of salvation. You remember, honey, don't you? My daddy, he could curse worse than a sailor. I mean, he had work. I mean, he would burn. See all these bad words? When Daddy got saved, here's what happened. He let a curse word slip. He'd look at Mrs. Wells, Sylvia. He'd look at me. He'd say, I'm so embarrassed. I'm sorry. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have. Now, my dad was a man's man. He's a man's man. One day down in Baltimore City, guy approached him and said, give me your money or I'll take your life. He said, take my life. You're not getting my money. The guy didn't know what to do. So the guy looked at him and said, have a good day. Walked away. Now, look, here's what I'm saying, though. I'm saying this. When he got saved, Brother Crutchy couldn't do it by himself. Had a grip on him. But when he got saved, all the bad words, when he'd say one, he's so embarrassed. Now, by the way, that's the environment I came up in. I didn't come up in a preacher's home. But I'm thankful God gave me the parents I had. Hey, give you a close illustration. I told it in college. I hadn't told it here in years. I went to Bible college. You know Bible college? It's where the guys go that want to learn the Bible. Went to Bible college. Only been saved a little while. Got saved July 24th, 1979. Went to Bible college in May 1980. So not even saved a year yet. I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't dope. I was very athletic. But that bad words, you know, I'm ashamed to say it, but I picked up some of the bad words. I'd be in Bible college, and I was the one in charge of the buffer. They gave me a buffer. And I was supposed to buff the floors. That thing would not obey me. Grab it. I'd try to muscle it. When I did, it would jerk back. Ran to this guy's filing cabinet, professor on staff. And I went, said things I shouldn't have said, bad words. Little short guy. Never will forget. Little short guy. Well, not that short. Little short guy. He came running out of the English department. He said, what'd you say? You're in Bible college. You're not supposed to talk that way. What'd you say? I said, I don't know. What'd I say? I'm not telling you. So how am I supposed to know I'm not supposed to say it? You know. You're in Bible college. Don't you ever say it again. Yes, sir. I had no idea what I said was wrong. He didn't tell me. He just said, don't say it again. But I knew a lot of words. So I got behind the thing again. And it just spun out of control, hit another locker, put a big dent in it. I said, little short guy comes running out. Short guy comes running out. He gets out, that's it! That's it! That's it! I said, what, sir? That's it! What? He said those words that you just said you're not supposed to say in Bible college. That's called cursing. I said, I've always wondered what that was. He said, don't you ever say that again. I said, what do I say? He said, say sugar plums. Sweet apples. Honey mustard. And he's naming all this stuff. Man, I'm getting hungry. He trained me. He helped me. You know why? Because I was somebody that wanted help. Now, I love you. There's not a person in this room that's beyond help. Man, God wants to use you. There was a fellow by the name of a missionary to Africa, David Livingston. Another fellow by the name of Stanley. You might remember the story. Stanley wanted to go and interview Livingston. So he goes over to Africa. He said, I can't find him. How can I find him in such a vast jungled area? He go into a village. Have you seen this David Livingston? Person raised their hand. Yes, I did. He led me to Christ. He go to the next village. Have you met this guy by the name of David Livingston? No, don't know him. Do you know him? No, don't know him. Do you know him? Don't know him. No, I don't know. Hey, I know him. He led me to Christ. Where did he go from here? Went to that village. Go to the next village. Have you met this guy by the name of David Livingston? No, 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 no. Me. I met him. He led me to Christ. Where did he go from here? He went to that village over there. He said it took him a little while, but he found him because he followed the converts that he led to Christ. That's how he found David Livingston. He just followed the trail of people that he led to Christ and found out where he was located. Hey, what a testimony. Amen. Look, I'm saying this. I'm saying tonight, somebody's following you. What do they find in your trail? What do they find in your direction? How do they know what you're about? You just never know. You just never know how God is going to use you. Dale Moody's life, it was a shoe coddler, a shoe salesman, if you would. Showed him, I believe, wasn't it? Was it Moody? Yeah, showed him how to be saved. I think in a Brother House's life, I think it was a Sunday school teacher. Guy by the name of Lee Robertson was led to Christ by a little lady at the age of 10. You just never know.
Right.
You never know who you're going to lead to Christ and what they're going to do. Look, I'm saying this. I'm saying that God's got somebody just for you. I'm saying that God can use you. I'm saying that you need to dig it deep with the Lord Jesus Christ, those roots, just to let God work in you. A guy by the name of Brother Don Sisk, great missionary, just tremendous. Missionary to Japan for many, many years. The works that he has established still, stay with it, live on. He's in his 80s. One day he's going to be dead. Those works are still going to exist. Okay, ready? Here I am. I'm done. Here it is. One day Mrs. Wells and I, we're going to die. Brother Ray said this. He said, the man normally dies 15 years before the woman. I got with them later and I said, that's not encouraging, thank you. Normally she'll outlive the man 15 years. So when I get ready to die, I'm gonna say, honey, okay, you wanna get married? Here's a good one for you. Here's a good one for you. Here's a good one for you. Give him this much money, no more. No, I'm kidding. Wait, watch. Watch this. So one day we're gonna be dead, kids are gonna live on. Sure hope they live for Jesus. Sure hope I'm able to look down and say, ah, he's still preaching. He's still serving God. Look what he's doing for Christ. Oh, look at her. Wow, she's doing a marvelous job serving Christ. Look at my wife over there, 92, still going for the Lord. Wonder who that guy is pushing her in the wheelchair. Hope he breaks a leg. I'm saying this. God can use you. Let him use you. Father, help us tonight, I pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.